a very pleasant good morning. We're 9:33. Welcome into the MRMC Doctor's Office program. We're going to be talking today about heart health, and Nancy Reinhart, the cath lab director, joins us. How are you this morning, Nancy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic as well. And you've got a special guest with you too, don't you?
I do. It's Kenna.
How are you, Kenna?
Hi. Good morning.
All right. Hey, I'll ask you the tough question. Forget the fact that we're live. How tough is it working? No, it's fun working with Nancy, isn't it?
Absolutely. Never a dull moment.
All right. I need to ask you, Nancy, how did you, first of all, get interested in working with heart health and working in the cath lab?
I have done cardiac pretty much all of my nursing career. I love the heart. It scared me the most at the beginning, so that was a challenge. So that's why I moved forward in cardiac areas.
And I'm guessing patients are kind of the same way. When they hear that there could be an issue or a concern with their heart, that blood pressure goes up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right. So that being said, how important is it dealing with the person emotionally as much as physically, and their whole family, too?
Well, that's a huge factor, and we try to spend as much time, educating families and patients so that they understand the procedures that we're doing as well as the disease that goes along with it. So we do try to include the family in our admission process and our discharge process so that they all have an understanding of what's going on.
So how long have you been involved in nursing and with the cath lab, Nancy?
Well, that's going to show my age.
Oh, give me a ballpark then. You don't have to be specific.
Well, we moved from Florida 6 years ago, and I started in the cath lab, but I've been a nurse for 33 years.
All right. So what kind of changes have you seen in dealing with the heart over the years?
Oh, huge changes in time. When I worked in Florida and I worked in a cardiac intensive care unit when I first started, we just sat and watched a heart attack happen. We then started to get medicines, and those medicines are called lytics, and they would dissolve the clot. Then it got to a point where those patients, instead of getting the lytics, were taken to the cath lab, and full function was restored to the heart when they were having a heart attack very, very quickly. Time is muscle, and the quicker they get in to get that blockage taken care of, the faster their heart recovers.
All right, I got to ask you, and we're going to move on to what all we're here to talk about, including Heart Month, Heart Health Month, and also about women's heart issues. But I got to put in a good plug. I used to do training for CPR and AED. What's the recommendation nowadays? Do we need rescue breaths with that, or are compressions a recommendation?
Compressions are the biggest recommendation right now. Respirations have taken a second. When you can get an airway in a patient safely, they say that it's the right time to do it, but circulation is the biggest part of it right now.
And boy, the number of compressions, that's gone up over the years too, hasn't it?
It sure has.
Where are we right now? Are we still around 120?
Yes, sir.
All right. Kenna is also with us. I got to ask you, what got you interested in working in the cath lab?
Well, being a ICU nurse most of my career, a lot of underlying diseases have, a lot of connection to cardiovascular problems. So if you can treat your heart problems, a lot of the other systemic problems will improve. So when I had an opportunity to join the team here, it was a new pathway for me. I found a lot of interest in it, and have really enjoyed it, and have seen a lot of new things just in the few years that I've been here at MRMC.
So, Kenny, you went from ICU to the cath lab. How do you like dealing with pressure?
I would say I do pretty well. I have a calm demeanor, and it tends to work in my favor and the patient's favor. If everybody stays calm and we make better decisions.
Yeah, and we kind of kid about that, but how really important, honestly, is the demeanor of the medical team that's working with someone to really help either calm the patient or calm the patient's family?
It's a huge, huge factor. You know, if the patient or the family sees you stressed and nervous, then that's going to rub off onto them. So if they see that you are calm and in control of the situation, they're going to, feel reassured and more comforted that everything's going to be okay.
Okay, Nancy, I'm going to date myself right now. So I'm older than you are, but or we're in the same ballpark. But I think a lot of people our age, our first exposure to heart health was a zapping machine from Emergency in the 1970s. We've come a long way, haven't we?
Yes, we have. But I remember those shows. We watched them every week.
All right. Do we still use something like that? That was the first, if you will, AED.
It was, and yes, we do. For patients who are high risk for having a sudden cardiac death, those patients receive an implanted AICD, and they are wonderful. They're lifesavers for those patients that need them. So if they're at high risk, they get one implanted into them, and it detects the rhythm issues, and it goes ahead and reverses that rhythm. That's just another new technology that's come out.
All right. If you have any questions for Nancy or for Kenna, 263-2424 or 800-892-2300. And let's see if this call is for us. And they went away. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what happens in the cath lab. What procedures are done there, Nancy?
We have a new physician who came to town. I'm sure a lot of people are aware of him. We have Dr. Rabapudi, who worked in Columbia, left for a bit, and then came back. And he does the gamut of all of the procedures. We do pacemakers. We do AICD implants. We do peripheral cases, and we also do coronary cases. Last week, we did a renal case with him with somebody who had a blockage to their renal artery. So we pretty much fill the gamut with him. We also have University of Missouri physicians, and Dr. Chan is our interventional cardiologist. We just did a case with him this morning. We have a new physician, Dr. Kadali, that is also coming from the university, and he will also be doing pacemaker and AICD implants as well.
All right, we've got a phone call coming in. Mulberry Line, hi there. You're on the doctor's office program.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the... I'd like to ask a question here. To install a pacemaker in a person, is that a major operation or is it minor? And how long is a person disabled when you get one put in? This is just a follow-up question. I know my answers in that, but I want other opinions.
It's a procedure. You will be placed under moderate sedation. There's not a breathing tube put down your throat or anything. We give you sedation through your IV, and a small incision is made under your collarbone area, and we thread some wires and catheters and put the generator in there. That's the pacemaker that's going to keep your heart beating correctly. And we test it to a machine to make sure that it's firing correctly and working. And basically the doctor will sew that the skin closed. The whole procedure may take maybe an hour, a little bit longer than that. Very rarely are you limited to your activity after 2 weeks. You'll have to wear a sling at nighttime when you sleep, and just limited motion, raising your arms above your head. And the reason being is that is those muscles need to basically stabilize so that the wires that attach to the pacemaker don't move. They need to settle in there and get comfortable.
So after about 2 weeks here, you're talking about really no restrictions then, aren't you?
It's two weeks to a month, I believe.
And the pocket is an area you've gone through skin tissue, and you've also gone through muscle, so it's a little uncomfortable. So your recovery time is pretty short. They give you pain medicine to help you through it, and they're actually pretty quick and pretty easy these days. It used to be that you had to stay in the hospital, but now people are being discharged that same day.
Wow, that's incredible.
Would it be normal to go to a nursing home to recovery or try to do it home by yourself?
Most people will just go home. I haven't seen anybody so far since we started doing them have to go to a nursing home. So the recovery is usually just at home.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling. We got another call coming in. You two are popular. Moberly call. Hi there. You're in the doctor's office.
Good morning. When they do a, when they run the little cast or the camera up through your groins, up through your heart, I can't recall what that's called, but and if you have a kink in that main vein there, should that have a stent put in it, or is it just something you have to live with?
Well, there's a couple of different things. It's called a cardiac catheterization, and there is a small catheter that's placed either in your groin or in your radial artery. Most times, I'd say probably 99% of the time, we do radial with our two interventional physicians. And if there is a kink that's greater than 70%, we are able to go ahead and open that up. If it is less than 70%, the government has a standby rule that that blockage has to be more than 70%. Does that answer
your question? So you just live with it.
All right.
The government, I mean. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, from a layman's standpoint, ladies, how do you determine how blocked it really is?
Well, that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about today. We have a new machine. It's new technology that's come to Moberly, and it's a system that actually lets you do an ultrasound inside the vessel itself to see exactly what that blockage is. So it's called an IVUS system, and it's something that works very well. We can tell exactly where the blockage is. We can also tell the size of the vessel, so you're not trying to put in different balloons or stents to make it go to the correct size. So it's great technology, and we have gotten that installed into our cath lab within the last 6 months, and we use it frequently. It's a great tool for the cardiologist to use to come up with the correct sizing.
All right. What was it like, Nancy, the first time you got to see this thing working? Was it pretty neat?
Oh, it was very cool. I fell in love my first day. Like I said, I've been a nurse for a long time. This was something new for me, and I just was fascinated, and I enjoy it a great deal.
Nancy, I think one of the things we want to bring out here, too, how comforting is it for someone to realize that they can get the kind of top-notch care dealing with the heart like we're talking about today, and they can get it right here at home?
Well, we hope that it's a big comfort. We hope that people will start to realize that we have this technology. We are in the process of also buying a system called the Impella system, which is an assist device that helps the really, really sick heart, the really high-risk patient, to have angioplasties done, whereas those patients would have to go elsewhere to have it done or to have bypass surgery, which is a lot more of a recovery, to recover from the surgery itself. So the Impella system is placed for patients who might not have good functioning to their heart or might have would not be able to have had it done here. So that's our newest technology that's coming to us, and we should have that within the next couple of months.
All right, we're going to talk about women's heart health in just a moment. Right, we got another phone call coming in. Moberly line, hi there. You're on the doctor's office.
Yes, I've had pacemaker put in within the last year's time. I went in the hospital one morning. They did the surgery, and I came home the next morning. They want you to stay overnight, but it was just a very small incision. I didn't have any trouble with mine at all. They can check it from the office in Columbia. By phone, there's a machine that you have in your bedroom that hooks into the pacemaker, and they can check it by phone.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
But I didn't have any trouble with mine at all.
All right. Thank you. Nancy, is that generally the case? Pacemakers work pretty well?
They do, and that technology has gotten much, much better over the years, too. Those pacemakers are actually Bluetooth compatible, and all of the information is transmitted via the Bluetooth technology. The doctor can check on it at any given time. If you start to have issues with that pacemaker, if they're, you know, you start to get dizzy or you start to have problems with it, they can do an interrogation on that pacemaker, and the patient doesn't even have to show up to have it looked at. That technology is right there in their home. So it's a great, great new type of technology that wasn't available years ago.
All right. Can you tell us what the difference is between a heart attack and cardiac arrest? I think people get confused with those two.
Well, cardiac arrest is basically when the heart stops or fibrillating. There is no pulse with a cardiac arrest. A heart attack is when there is a decreased flow to the coronary vessels that feed the heart. So that's what is giving the chest pain that the patients are communicating.
All right. Hey, that's a brilliant segue into talking about women's health. Are heart problems more common with women or with men, or how does that break down?
I think men are still a higher risk. Women, however, just exhibit different symptoms, and we just wanted to touch base on a few of those that, you know, aren't as typical, you know, the typical chest pain symptoms that are generally offered by the public, you know, the crushing pain. I have pressure, like an elephant is sitting on my chest. I may have pressure down my arm, up my jaw. They may be sweaty, a little short of breath. Those are your typical symptoms of a heart attack. Women, however, are not, they don't always fall into that group. They may have some shortness of breath, they may have some anxiety, they may have just arm pain or jaw pain only. They may have more indigestion than normal, or having trouble sleeping at night. So those are all atypical signs that there may be something going on that they might want to have checked out with their cardiologist.
All right, what we need to do, I'm going to ask you to hang on for just 1 minute, ladies. We're going to take a 1 minute break. We'll come back with more of the Doctor's Office program next.
When someone in your family gets sick, take your prescriptions to Cribbs Family Pharmacy. You'll feel good knowing you can talk face-to-face with your pharmacist and get information about all your family's medications. They understand how valuable your time is, and you'll appreciate the attention to detail that is paid to your prescriptions. It's nice doing business with people you know, who know you. Bring your next prescription to Cribbs Family Pharmacy on the corner of 4th and Reed, or call them at 263-8020. It's like family helping family, the way it should be.
Isn't it frustrating when your phone doesn't work the way you want it to? Well, the same can be said when your back, shoulder, or knees don't work like they used to. That's where we come in at Columbia Orthopedic Group. Count on us to find out what's wrong and do the right things to get you back to health. Call us at 573-443-2402 for your appointment today. We're online at columbiaorthogroup.com. Columbia Orthopedic Group. Defining excellence.
Back on the MRMC Doctor's Office program, we're talking heart health today, and with us on the program today, Kenna, who's a nurse in the cath lab, and Nancy Reinhardt, who's a cath lab director. And Nancy, how important is it for people, if they're experiencing even potentially any of these symptoms, to get them checked out, to not ignore them?
It's really important. You want to make sure that your doctor is aware. There are things that can be controlled, like your blood pressure, smoking, the things that you can't control are your sex, if you're male or female, or your age. So those things that we can control might be able to help that situation. But if you're experiencing any chest discomfort whatsoever, I would much rather be safe than sorry. We have too many patients that come in long after they should have come in. They're having a heart attack where it could have been taken care of prior to when it got that bad.
Yeah, oftentimes we think about the left arm pain, but it doesn't have to be the left side, does it?
No, it can be the right side as well.
All right, so how common are heart problems, heart issues?
Very common, very common. You know, people will have, especially in diabetics, diabetics will also have atypical symptoms. They have neuropathy and may not even feel that they've ever had a heart attack. But, you know, people with hereditary cardio problems, you know, their mother or father, they're already predisposed. So it's always good to have yourself checked out.
Well, I'll give you a great example of this. A friend of mine from back in Indiana, 45-year-old man, perfectly healthy, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, has never had a problem in the world, was experiencing chest pain one day, went in, the next day he's having a quadruple bypass. So, I mean, you don't ignore this stuff, do you?
No, you sure don't.
Nope.
We also do stress testing in the cath lab. That's part of our job description. And that stress testing can sometimes show if you are likely to have issues with your heart before you have a heart attack. So it's really important if you go to your doctor and tell them, hey, I had some chest discomfort, what do you want me to do about it? A lot of times they'll refer you for an EKG, they'll also refer you for stress testing, and that's super important to get those taken care of because they can take care of you prior to when you have damage to your heart.
All right, so what are some of the common sense things that you and I and anyone can do to help reduce our risk of potentially having a heart attack or cardiac arrest?
Well, we need to modify risk factors that can be modified. So if we're overweight, we need to eat better. We need to eat a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet. We need to exercise, you know, 20 to 30 minutes a day if we can. Walking is perfect exercise to get started. If we're smoking, we need to stop that. That greatly increases our risk of a heart attack.
If you have high blood pressure, you need to get that under control. That's one of the leading factors that's something that can help. But a lot of people will let that high blood pressure go. That hardens the arteries, and that helps that plaque to start to develop in those arteries.
How important, ladies, is something as simple, and you mentioned exercise, but something as simple as just getting off the couch and moving around a little bit?
That's a start. That helps out tremendously.
All right, so where do we see, Nancy, where do we see heart health and the treatment of these things going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, that's a good question. We have purchased a lot of different technology, and I foresee us purchasing more to make sure that patients are safe and that we can take care of them the best that we can. I think that we have come a long way. We have some technology that isn't available in Columbia at the university or at Boone Hospital. And I foresee that this program is a program that they want to see continue. I think our cardiologists are very good, and we're very happy to have both of our interventional cardiologists here to help take care of our patients.
Nancy, we got about a minute and a half or so left in the program. Tell us about that new diagnostic tool again that you've had in place for a few months and how valuable that is for you and for the patients.
So the IVUS tool is and we also have laser. Kind of just reminded me. That's another tool that we have to utilize in both peripheral and coronary cases where those very, very difficult hard plaques that sometimes patients get in those coronary vessels, it kind of softens that plaque that wouldn't be able to be softened otherwise. So we have laser technology, we have ultrasound technology that goes right into the vessel. We can give a little mini stress test at the heart at the time of the diagnostic testing. We have a lot of new technology that we have been utilizing quite frequently, and it seems to be helping out.
All right. Hey, ladies, thanks so much for being with us today. Look forward to talking to you again. It's been very informative, very educational for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's going to wrap up the MRMC Doctor's Office program as part of Quicksland this morning.